Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Who's a Good Dog? I'm Kate Lever. I'm a journalist and author of the book Good Dog. And in this podcast, I'm joined, as always, by my favourite living creature, a Shih Tzu called Bert. He accepts payment for his role on the podcast in cheese. Each episode, we will be talking to someone wonderful about their favourite living creatures, the dogs who share their homes and their lives. Today, I'm going to hear about two dogs known as Josie and Floppy. They are fed, walked, and cuddled by none other than author, podcaster, and legend John Ronson. John wrote my favourite book, The Psychopath Test, So You've Been Publicly Shamed, and The Men Who Stare at Goats. John, I assume you don't stare at many goats these days. Are you then a man who stares at his dogs?
Yeah, but I also stare at goats because I'm living in the countryside now. One of my neighbours has got lots of goats and I go around there and I do.
For anyone who hasn't read John's book, that is the topic of the book.
Yeah, it was about how the US military was training soldiers to kill goats just by staring at them. They had this secret unit at Fort Bragg called Goat Lab, where the idea is they'd go in there, throw like a hand grenade into a room full of goats, and then like blow the goats up. And then like the soldiers would go in and nurse the goats back to health.
Oh my God.
But that was to do with like training, conventional medical training for the battlefield. But the psychic warriors, the ones who wanted to try out paranormal things, they thought, well, we've got all of these goats, you know, we might as well try killing them just by staring at them. But Goat Lab, I discovered to my horror, used to be called Dog Lab. It started.
Oh.
They used to do all of this stuff to dogs.
No.
Yes, oh. but the soldiers got very upset because they didn't want to, like, you know, blow up dogs and nurse them back to
yep.
health. And so I swear, you know, this is true from my research, that somebody decided, well, it's much harder to form an emotional bond with a goat than with a dog. So Dog Lab became Goat Lab.
Oh my God, wow.
Yeah,
I mean, it's horrifying, but I sort of feel awful for being so okay with goats being blown up. But in comparison to dogs, it seems that I am. I don't know what that says about me.
Maybe not so okay, but yeah, comparatively less upset.
Comparatively okay with the blowing up of goats.
But do I stare at dogs? Like all the time. In fact, Josie, my dog, was literally just before we started this interview, was just staring at me because my wife, usually what happens is that Elaine gives them the morning walk, like takes them out for like a 2-hour walk in the morning.
Lucky dogs.
Yeah, and then I give Josie, because Floppy doesn't need it, but I give Josie like an early afternoon walk. But this morning Elaine was so busy she didn't take the dogs out, so just before we started this interview Josie was like just sitting there just staring at me, wanting me to like take her out. And I didn't, because instead I was going to go on a podcast talking about what a great dog owner I am. So I was
like
I was neglecting Josie so I could like boast about my, you know.
Well, you know, she's being paid in exposure. So let's meet Josie and Floppy. Tell me a little bit about them. How old are they? When did they come into your life?
They're both old. Floppy either just turned 13 or just turned 12. We're not totally sure.
Lost track.
Yeah, Josie. Oh, no, more like we have contradictory documentation. Josie is 2 years younger, so Josie's either 11 or 10. Floppy was our first dog ever. Like, I never had a dog before. Elaine never had a dog before. Mm. Elaine's mother would say to her, you can't get a dog because when they die, you get upset. That was Elaine's.
Look, I mean, that's a sensible warning, but it is, I guess, the risk we take.
Well, yeah.
To love these dogs.
But also, I mean, of course. But actually, it was a bad warning because Elaine went through her entire childhood not having...
Dogless.
And the first, you know, 20 years of our marriage or whatever, dogless.
Mm. So what made you decide to get one?
It was all Elaine's doing. Like, she was entirely in charge of the entire thing. So Elaine did a lot of sourcing and decided that what she wanted was a Tibetan Terrier. So mm-hmm. we found one and, like, said to the breeder, we've never had a dog before. Will you give us an easy one? So they gave us, like, Floppy. And Floppy is indeed the world's easiest dog.
Oh my god, yeah, of course. Josie's the lady.
So Floppy's incredibly easy. His interests are hiding my socks, eating. He's on steroids at the moment, and my god, he's like an eating monster. He just follows me around just sobbing if I don't give him the dinner.
Does he sometimes sort of play you and your wife off each other and get double dinner?
No, because Elaine is very unshakable in that she won't give him any of her food, whereas I'm just constantly slipping both of them food under the table. So he's a Tibetan Terrier, which kind of means, you know, they're trained to sit close to you but not give you that much affection. Like in mm-hmm. Tibet, I believe... the idea is that the Tibetan Terriers sit sort of just outside the monk's house as a sort of, you know, dogs with responsibility. Like, yeah. They don't attack. They're not attack dogs. They're definitely not cuddly, like, you know, because they sort of sit there and make sure everything's okay and then just let you know if they're not. And that is like what Floppy is. Like, he loves to be with us all the time. But he doesn't sort of lean in for cuddles. It's like, I am a dog with responsibilities. I'm a serious dog. I've got to sit close to you, make sure everything's okay. If a motorbike goes by, I'll chase the fuck out of it. Like, because that's the enemy.
Which is lucky because, you know, we're at risk of motorbikes coming into our homes during dinner, all sorts of things they protect us from.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what. Yeah, Floppy, as I emailed you the other night, Floppy reminds me of Anthony Hopkins in The Remains of the Day. Like, dutiful, allows affection, but doesn't love it.
Oh, bless.
So after a couple of years, we thought, you know, Floppy's like the greatest dog in the world, but he's not giving us everything that we want. We also would like some...
We need a cuddler.
Yeah, some lolloping stupidity. and so along came Josie. Elaine was actually at a garden centre. Neither of them are rescue dogs. Although I think Elaine feels that she did rescue Josie from the garden centre. Mm-hmm. She was,
fair enough. A very dangerous place. Yeah.
Well, she was the runt of the litter. She was the only girl. All the other dogs in the litter were like having fun together and she was cowering at the end of the cage. So it was a kind of rescue. So Elaine phoned me up and said, I'm at the garden centre. There's a dog here I think I want to buy. And I'm like, no. You know, we weren't particularly, you know, well off at that moment in our lives. And I'm like, no, we spent enough money on Floppy. I don't want another dog. Like, no, don't come back with mm-hmm. another dog. So obviously she came back with another dog.
She came back with another dog. Yeah. She sounds like me. She sounds like a woman after my own heart. I feel like I would understand her motivations in that situation.
But I'm so glad that she did because I love Josie more than anything. Like, me and Josie are so... Oh. She's enriched my life so much. Our life would have been so much worse if she hadn't come back.
Do you know, I wanted to ask you, John, because I basically wrote a whole book about dogs because I was so moved by how my dog behaves when I go through episodes of depression. Mm. And, you know, it was basically an excuse to get some canine experts on the phone and quiz them about my theory that dogs can smell depression. But Bert, my rescue Shih Tzu, lies across my chest when I'm sad and behaves very differently when I am going through depression. You've spoken about being an anxious person, and certainly during a pandemic, things have been tense for various reasons. Do you feel that perhaps Josie in particular helps you with your anxiety?
I mean, she's an anxious dog too. Like she always acts, she acts like she's had some really dark shit happen to her.
You don't know what happened in the garden centre.
Well, that's the thing. It's like if dark shit happened to her, it was just like a couple of weeks at the garden centre. Like, it wasn't that bad. Surely, like, it wasn't that bad. But yeah, Josie does help my anxiety. Like just the simple, you know, having a dog there, you can just stroke, and that definitely helps. The other day, though, I got out of bed. I'm suffering from a condition called diverticulitis. That's a word that I never thought I'd know as well as I now do. You can theoretically manage it by eating the right stuff. So for the last sort of month or so, I've been eating the right stuff, and it's completely staved off. Like, I'm having like no symptoms at all right now. But about a month ago, when I was having like an acute episode, I got out of bed and fell on the floor and couldn't move. I had a sort of mix of diverticulitis plus some sciatica, and I sort of fell on the floor and couldn't move. And both dogs came up to me, and I did, as I was lying there, like writhing in agony, I did think to myself, like, I'm going to be interested to see how, like, my two dogs respond to this incident. So Floppy just lay quite close to me, like a Tibetan would. Like, I don't want to get involved in this emotion, but I'm quite happy to, like, sit nearby and, I guess, protect you from motorbikes.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And Josie came up to me, like, got underneath me because I was on all fours trying to stand up. So I'm on all fours trying to get up. Josie gets underneath me, licks my face from underneath, and then lies on the floor wanting a tummy rub.
And, oh, very helpful.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, I think when Josie presents her tummy for a tummy rub, she actually thinks she's providing us with a service, when in fact I'm doing, we're the ones doing all the rubbing. Like, we're doing all the work. So I thought at that point, that Josie probably felt like presenting me with her stomach was her doing something to help.
Yeah. Oh. I wanted to ask, because Bert, my dog, officially goes by Bert or Bertie. In sort of formal situations, might be Gilbert or Bertrand or Albert. It's kind of like the reverse of a nickname. He also goes by Nugget, Dumpling, Butternut Squash, Button Mushroom, Darling, whatever ridiculous sort of cute name I think of when I'm looking at him. So Josie and Floppy, do they have unofficial stupid stuff that you call them?
Not so much the names, but what I do is have very long conversations where I play all parts, which go on forever. And they have very distinct, in my imagination, when I'm doing this bit, they have very distinct personalities, where Josie is a very verbose deep thinker, and Floppy is this sort of almost like Frankenstein's monster from that Mel Brooks film.
And do they have different accents, different voices?
Yeah. And I sometimes mix it up. Sometimes Josie sounds a little bit like the Queen, but mainly she just sounds like a very thoughtful, use lots of big words. Whereas Floppy just sort of grunts very simple thoughts.
And is the audience for these skits the dogs or the rest of your family?
Well, usually Elaine or Joel are in the room, but I do find myself doing it quite often when it's just me, Floppy, and Josie.
Do you know what? In your defence, and also in my defence, I did actually read a study quite some time ago that says that people who talk to their pets are actually more intelligent.
Right.
So, you know, feel free to quote that if anyone ever mocks you for having conversations with your dogs or around your dogs or doing full-length plays about your dogs.
Yeah, well, I'm playing all three parts. Well, I will. I've got to say, I do it so often that I forget that I'm not actually channeling their thoughts. I actually feel that I really am having this conversation between the three of us.
Do you also make up songs about things they're doing or things you want them to know?
I'm sure I do. It's all part of the thing. It's all part of this like 12-year-long deep level discourse between the three of us. So yes, I'm sure.
And how do they respond to this kind of theatrics?
I think they're unaware that it's happening. I've given them so much human characteristics because of these conversations to a large extent. And I forget that Josie isn't talking to me. It is just me making it up. I get into this sort of weird state, you know, where I can be extremely sort of verbose, loquacious. And I totally forget that it's me. It's not Josie. Like when I'm doing it, I really think I'm having a conversation with Josie and Floppy. I really do. And they're talking back and then I'm just channeling their thoughts, which I'm clearly not because I've got no idea what they're thinking. But then when they do, you know, and then sometimes, tell me if you feel the same way, like sometimes I forget they're a dog. Like they then act in a way that's so dog-like. That I think, oh yeah, no, you are a dog.
Yeah, I mean, we have very detailed, long-running sort of projections of what he's thinking and doing.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the time in our imagination of what Bert is thinking, his kind of personality is he's not a deep thinker.
Right.
Which I think is pretty accurate. There's often not a lot going on in his head.
That's how I present Floppy as not a good thinker who can just grunt out the simplest thoughts. And then the gag is that then I switch to Josie and she's like this smart, she's so clever.
She's more of a conversationalist.
Yeah, and goes into, yeah. I'm a bit passive aggressive with it. Like when Josie's talking, Floppy is the other dog. Joel is the boy, Elaine is the woman, and I'm the only one she's interested in.
Hi everybody, my name's Helen.
And I'm Kobe.
And we're from FlixWatcher, a podcast in the Strip Media family.
We are a movie podcast and we review films that are just on Netflix in the UK.
So if you've ever struggled to find a film on Netflix to watch, we're the podcast for you.
We have guests on from other podcasts, big and small, just like these guys that you listen to now. They choose the films and we rate them and discuss them with our unique scoring system.
You can find FlixWatcher on any podcast app by searching FlixWatcher. That's F-L-I-X Watcher.
And if you want more information about any of the other podcasts in the Strip Media family, just visit www.stripped.media to find out more.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I've been thinking about all the dogs, how they'll react as a lot of people go back to the office or, you know, travel and deign to leave the house and therefore the company of their dog. There must be some devastated animals.
Yeah.
As it is, you know, my whole life is basically at home anyway. I work from home. Bert is my editorial assistant in all projects I do, so he just probably didn't really even notice the difference. Although I will say he's become more of a stickler for routine throughout the pandemic. First of all, I think he can tell time remarkably well. Mm-hmm. But because, you know, especially during lockdown, we got into such a set routine because it was the only thing keeping us sane of, you know, going for a walk to, you know, our government mandated exercise outside at the same time and all of that sort of stuff. Now, if it gets past, you know, sort of 9 a.m. when we usually take him for his walk, he really lets his opinions be heard about needing to get going. And the same if I'm working past 6 p.m. He's like, come on, it's dinner time, off we go.
Right.
So he's become, you know, really very rigid about his schedule.
Yeah, Josie too. Like most days I give Josie like a walk in the afternoon. Like I'm going to do that as soon as this is over. She's got her place she wants to go. She wants to go up to the cemetery. So she stands at the front gate because the cemetery's a walk and the car's at the back. I don't like taking her to the cemetery for the following nine reasons. One, because it's a really big hill. The cemetery's at the top of a really big hill with a great view of the Catskill Mountains, which I can't help thinking is like wasted on the dead. I should build a house there, but you know what happens if you build a house on a cemetery. We've all seen Poltergeist. So that's reason one. Reason two is like there's quite often people there staring at the graves of their loved ones. So they don't want Josie galloping by trying to dig up the bodies, which is what
imagine they do not.
Yeah. So I try and avoid taking Josie to the cemetery. I find it a bit stressful. Instead, I take her to this beautiful house about 15 minutes away called Claremont, which is a like a country park kind of house.
Beautiful.
Yeah, where there's less trouble. Although a shitload of Lyme carrying ticks. That's our big issue around here. Like you have to check you and your dogs like every day for ticks, like every day.
Because
every day you'll find one on you. And then if you leave it, it'll give you Lyme disease.
We found one on Bert once when we took him to France for a bit, and we had to look up how to correctly remove one on YouTube because you can do it wrong and leave part of it in there. It's like a perfect exchange. Your dogs protect you from all possible motorbike appearances. You protect them from small critters who may, you know,
give you Lyme
endanger
disease.
Them.
Yeah.
Floppy, exactly.
They've also been, you know, Floppy nearly died a couple of weeks ago.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, literally, like the vet said, you need to say goodbye to your dog.
Oh God,
he's
John,
not
going to
last
awful.
The
what
night.
What happened?
Just suddenly, it's happened twice. It happened about 6 years ago. And it happened again like a month or two ago. He just totally like shut down, so we took him to like an animal hospital. Mm-hmm. And honestly, everyone was saying like the vet was on speakerphone talking to the doctor at the animal hospital, basically saying like in front of us, like, yeah, no, it's not going to last the night.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And
Do you know, I could really cry about that today.
But you
That's
know what?
Awful.
You know what?
He pulled through.
Not only did he pull through, he's like livelier than ever, partly because of the steroids. I think what I call liveliness, others might call roid rage.
Well, as long as he's still around.
Yeah, no, he made a total recovery to the extent that the people at the vets were like, you know, we can't believe it. It's like, the soldier that we assumed had died in Vietnam 20 years ago has come home.
Oh, my God, thank goodness.
So he's totally fine. I've got to say, you know who didn't? Like, they get on really well, Floppy and Josie, like, really well. Mm. But I've got to say, like, she didn't notice him gone. and when he came back, it was very much like, oh, the other dog's back. But, you know, they get on really well. They look after each other. Floppy once saved Josie's life. Oh, my God. This is when we were living in Highgate. This story is so painful. I don't think I've ever even said it out loud before, but I'll tell you. So it was when Josie was a little puppy. God, I hope I don't well up telling this story.
If you do, I will. Don't worry.
I was upstairs. I think I was probably, just to like date it, I think I was probably writing psychopath test at the time. And I was upstairs working on the psychopath test, and I heard Floppy like barking like hell downstairs for quite a while, for like 5 minutes. I was like, oh, for God's sake. Everyone else was out. And I was like, oh, shut up, Floppy. But he just like was kept going. It was relentless. And after a few minutes, I thought, okay, this actually sounds like something. So I went downstairs. And what had happened was we'd taken away the Christmas tree, but the Christmas tree base was still there. And Josie's, like, collar had somehow... I mean, now I never let them... I never have them wearing their collars in the house, like, never. But we just didn't think about it at the time. Josie's collar had got caught up in this Christmas tree base, and she was, like, running around the room, pulling with her neck this Christmas tree base. And Floppy was just going crazy, like, running around in circles, trying to warn me to, you know, that this was happening. So I went downstairs and, you know, got her out, and it was all fine. But that was certainly a moment of Floppy, like... But I tell you what, in return... Ever since Floppy's been back from the hospital, Josie's main message to me has been, no, the other dog doesn't need any more special treatment. The other dog's fine now. You don't need to cuddle the dog more. Aww. Cuddle me more.
Well, she's the cuddler anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Floppy probably wouldn't accept it. He's too stoic. You know, got to get through his recovery.
But when moments like that happen, you really do realise that there's a whole thing, there's a whole other layer of intelligence going on with dogs. We were in Norway one time on a dog sled expedition, and the guy got lost. Like, he wasn't good. He was not a good guide. He got us lost in the snowy wilderness, in the dark.
Oh, dear.
And, you know, we were in, like, proper danger. Like, Joel was probably 5 years old, 6 years old. If it had happened the following night, there was a big snowstorm the following night, and, you know, we could have died. But it happened the night before when it was quite clear. But the dogs, like these huskies, were desperately trying to pull us in one way. And the guide, who didn't know what he was doing and was panicking and didn't want to admit that he was panicking, was, like, ignoring the dogs. And then the photographer who was with us, because I was doing it as a story, went off and found a cabin and, like, broke into the cabin, and we all, like, slept in this cabin that we broke into. And the dogs, though, were trying to lead us to the cabin. Like, we found,
Of course they were.
Yeah. So all of these dogs were like, you know, look, we could make this okay. Just fucking follow us. And the guide was ignoring them.
Ignore dogs at your own peril a lot. You know, well, I mean, some dog, you know, Bert needs to be ignored a lot of the time because he gets really, really, really upset about sort of the movement of wind in the leaves in the garden and imagines some sort of phantom beast that he has to defeat. So, you know, sometimes it's okay to ignore dogs, but I feel like if you're in a Norwegian storm and some well-trained huskies are telling you where to go, listen.
I strongly agree. One of the dogs, here's my other memory of that pack of huskies, one of the dogs was, like, misbehaving, and another dog bit it in its ear and actually drew a bit of blood.
Oh, my God.
But this was, like, clearly, like, a dog thing. Like, the dog was telling the other dog to stop, like, being an asshole.
Misbehaving, yeah. Yeah. Pulling him into line.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm with you with Bert. I mean, Floppy gets outraged. Like, if someone's doing yoga, like anything in the park that seems unconventional, Floppy gets very upset about. He'll go up and yell at people doing yoga or, you know, things like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a real embarrassment. Bert the other day got, like, irate about some children on scooters. Just, you know, morally opposed to scooters, apparently. I didn't know that before, but...
Right.
So I'm going to lead you into a couple of quick-fire questions that you can answer on behalf of Josie or Floppy or both.
Okay.
Question number one, where do they sleep at night?
Oh, in our bedroom. Floppy tends to lie on the floor next to the bed to make sure there's no motorbikes. And then Josie tends to start in our bed, then move to the floor, move to the bathroom. And just as I'm starting to get up about five, Josie will come into the bed and like give me like a cuddle before I get up.
I have morning cuddles too. It's a very good way to start the day.
No, but do you let Bert sleep in your bed?
Do you know what? This is a great topic of contention with me and my partner, but we've decided that Bert has evening cuddles right up until bedtime, and then Jono, my boyfriend, picks him up and like carries him to bed,
right,
which is just on the other side of our bedroom door.
Okay.
So he does actually sleep outside the bedroom, mainly because he likes to make this noise all night.
And
my boyfriend doesn't like it. And then first thing in the morning, he comes in for morning cuddles, which is where he leaps up and makes kind of a croissant shape in my arms. And we stay there for about half an hour while I read to start the day and he goes back to sleep.
That's very sweet. That's very sweet.
How many hours on average do you reckon they sleep a day?
I'd say 14.
Have they ever destroyed something precious?
Both of them have destroyed headphones. Yeah, they've destroyed headphones. A little bit of me sometimes, and again, this is something that I dare not speak out loud, I sometimes think that they might have bullied our cat Monty to death, and Monty just gave up the ghost and just thought, oh, fuck this, I'm just going to die.
That's quite a power move.
Yeah, before we had Josie, Floppy and Monty got on pretty well. And in fact, when we moved house, we moved from Islington to Highgate, and in the sort of stress of the move, Floppy and Monty, for like the only time I could remember, sort of sat together, like to comfort each other. But then when we got Josie, I'm afraid the dynamic changed, and Josie and Floppy kind of ganged up a little bit on Monty. And a few months later, Monty just died.
And oh, God.
Sometimes I wonder whether Monty just thought there's no place for me here anymore.
Can they do any tricks? And also, what is your stance on making dogs do tricks?
I don't want dogs to do tricks. I'm always uncomfortable about the whole master-slave thing. Like, even having a dog, like, I do put the dogs on leash. I'm very happy for Floppy to be off leash, but Josie stays on leash most of the time because she can't be trusted. But yeah, I find the whole leash thing difficult. It's like, what, am I some kind of dominatrix here? I don't want to control my dogs, but with Josie, you really have to. So I'm always really uncomfortable about anything that makes me the sort of master or indeed any situation. Like, I want to have control over my own life, but I don't want to have control over anybody else's life.
Do they have any accessories, items of clothing, costumes, anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Well, when we lived in the city, they have to have little boots because in the winter they put all of this salt everywhere to stop the snow. And, oh, my God, does Floppy shriek like an idiot if he gets...
When he sees the boots?
No, if he gets salt in his paws.
Yeah,
Floppy does not suffer in silence. Josie suffers in silence, but Floppy just lets out the loudest scream. Little boots for the salt, little high visibility coats for the winter months.
Yeah. So mostly practical clothing
rather than a little hat.
Clothing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't give them like little doggy bowler hats.
John, do you, Josie, or Floppy have any upcoming projects you'd like to tell us about before we go?
Josie intends to try and get me to the cemetery to find that groundhog that she found hiding underneath the grave the other day. So Josie's upcoming project is to try and smell animals at the cemetery. Floppy's upcoming project is to eat my dinner. And I've got a few upcoming projects, but they're all still a little bit too early to talk about.
Secret.
Yeah, I'm going to have stuff out this year, but none of it's been announced yet.
Well, I can't wait to hear. And in the meantime, they'll remain secret. Thank you so much, John. Thank you so much for chatting to me.
Okay, it was a pleasure. Thank you. Now I have to stop talking about Josie and actually pull her around the park.
Yeah, well, I hope she finds some really good smells. Thank you for listening to Who's a Good Dog? If you liked the show, subscribe in your favourite podcast app and tell your friends at the dog park. If you didn't, keep it to yourself. If you really, really liked it, I actually wrote a whole book about dogs. It's called Good Dog, celebrating the dogs who change and sometimes even save our lives. It's about my dog, Bert, and how he helped me through depression, and 10 other good girls and boys who've helped their people too. There's a diabetic alert dog, a Labrador who works in a Northern Irish prison, and a Schnoodle who helps dementia patients remember themselves. Basically, if you like dogs, I can almost guarantee you'll like this book. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Kate I. Lever. This episode of Who's a Good Dog was produced by Ali Adlington. Original music is by Luke Batt, and the artwork is by Ryan Hodge. Atmospheric Snoring by Bert the Shih Tzu.
Who's a good dog?
You just heard a Stripped Media production.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.